This shiur has been brought to you from the Sharim Audio Library. For information about Sharim or to order additional CDs, please visit our website, www.sharim.com, or email sharim@sharim.com. Thank you for making Sharim part of your continual learning experience.
Kol Ish Mishrael, we're on the first chapter. Now we're not going to read everything straight through. What we're going to do is we're going to read certain points and then skip. So don't get upset at me, please. Okay? All right. The first chapter, Pirkei Shemot, Baborei Yitzbarach Shemo. This chapter, again, what's the focal point of the Ramchal? The point of the Ramchal is, if you flip back to the end of the Hakdama, the end of the intro, if you will, the last paragraph is called, it starts with Vehineh, of the intro. I have called, it's page 26 in the Grey Book. I have called this book The Way of God, Derech Hashem. Since it speaks of God's ways as revealed by His prophets and taught in His Torah. So what does that mean, it reveals God's ways? It means it sets up the structure, the Ramchal, the power of the Ramchal, is to set up the structure to understanding how this world functions. Okay? So we're going to, in a sense, cover in a little bit, touch, you know, the outsides of different aspects of Judaism. We're going to cover every topic from the Almighty God, purpose of creation, the spiritual realm, man in this world, Israel and the nations. These all, you know, they explain how the Jewish people work in regard to the nations of the world, stars, astrology, right, the soul and its influences. Prophecy, Moses, then we're going to start getting into, you know, the Shema and its blessings and specifics of the mitzvot. So really he lays down the foundations to understanding how God runs the world. So it's definitely a must. It's something that someone should for sure go through and study, because it puts many things into perspective individually, and it's also very important not just to put it together individually, but to have a total picture of how the world works in unison, right? How the stars relate to the Jewish people and the Gentile world, and not just on an individual basis, for example. Okay, so that's what he says here. I've called this book The Way of God, since it speaks of God's ways as revealed by His prophets and taught in His Torah. These are the ways in which God directs both ourselves and everything else He created. Right? God runs the world, and He's given understanding to a certain extent, obviously, how God goes about doing that. This book is divided into four sections. The first discusses general basis of all existence and its details. Okay, so we're going to talk about everything in existence. The second section deals with God's providence. The third with prophecy, and the fourth with religious observance. Okay, so it covers the major topics, obviously. What's in existence, how the Almighty works with them, what the supernatural, like prophecy and religious observance. And now, fellow seekers of God, go on your way. May God be with you, giving you eyes to see and ears to hear the wonders of His Torah. Amen. May this be His will. Right? What does that mean? Well, what else are the eyes going to be for if not to see? And He should give you ears to hear. Means many people will have eyes and many people have ears, but they won't hear anything or they won't see. You could study something and not get the message of what the Almighty is trying to tell you. This brings out the point of what it means when you might see something and you won't get the message. Okay, so a rabbi in Israel named Rabbi Chaska Levinstein, he traveled to America for a little bit, and he spent a little bit of time there, and afterwards he finally made it to Israel. Now, while he was in Israel, one of his adventures was taking a cab. You all know that taking cabs here in Israel is one of our major highlights of enjoying Israel society. And in the cab driver goes to him, "Rabbi, I have a great story for you." And the rabbi says to him, "No, what's the story?" He says, "Me and my friends, after we finished the army, we decided that we were going to go for a world tour. So we went to South Africa. We started off there and we were walking through the jungles of Africa." It's a true story. They're walking through the jungles of Africa, you know, with their backpacks, hunting berries and eating animals. They're eating animals and hunting berries, however you want to look at it. And they came to one place where they stayed for the night, and they all went to sleep. And in the jungle, they wake up to one of their friends screaming. What happened? They wake up and they see that their friend, his whole body is wrapped with a boa constrictor. A snake wrapped around his friend's whole body, and the friend was screaming. And no matter what they tried to do, nothing helped. They tried to pull the snake off. They tried to, you know, just try and pull Igal out, and it didn't go. No matter how much they tried, the snake was just strengthening his grasp upon Igal. Finally, he turned to him, and they said to him, "Listen, Igal, you're going to die. Say Shema." So he says the Shema, "Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad," and as soon as he finishes the last word, Echad, the snake slivers off and lets go of Igal. And the cab driver continues with the Rav Chaska Levinson. He says, "You see, you know, my friend Igal, he became religious, he keeps Shabbat, he keeps kosher, his family, he married a religious girl, everything is unbelievable because it's a miracle." So Rav Chaska Levinson turns to him and says, "No, Maitcha, what's with you?" So cab driver goes, "With me, it didn't happen to me. It has nothing to do with me. Right? It happened to Igal." So this is what the Ramchal is saying, in a sense, that you have to have eyes to see and ears to hear. Somebody might see something, but they're not eyes to see. He won't pick up on the sense of on what the Almighty is telling him, or the ears to hear. And that, when we go through the Ramchal, we have to try and really always not just take it as a, you know, a text to study, but really always try and plug it in to how does this work into the bigger picture of what the Almighty plans for this world. He's going to put together little parts, and from that we branch out to everything. Okay. Let's start now with the first parak. Baborei Barach Shemo. Kol Ish Yisrael, every Jew, Tzarich Sheyamin VeYeda, has to believe and know, Sheyesham Matsui Rishon. We're on the first parak, Baborei Barach Shemo. Kol Ish Yisrael, every Jew, Tzarich Sheyamin VeYeda, has to believe and to know, Sheyesham Matsui Rishon, that there is one that is found first, Kadmon V'Nitzchi. He's first, he's the earliest, Kadmon V'Nitzchi, and he's eternal. Okay? V'hu Shimtzi U'mamtzi Kol Ma Shenimtza B'Mtziut. V'hu Ha'eloka Baruch Hu. And he is the one, this eternal, this first, this early being, is what gave existence to everything that is in existence, and he is God. First thing we have to see about the Ramchal is, why does he say the difference between Ya'amin Ve'yeda? You should know and you should believe. What does it mean, I have to know and I have to believe? What's the difference between knowing? Ya'amin is you should believe, and Yeda, you should know. So there's two different things that are, there are different types of tests that a person could go through in their life. Different types of challenges a person could go through. And each one of them, you're going to need to plug into a different force. Give you an example. For example, knowing, right? You've heard of the Discovery Seminar? Right? That's where they go through like the Bible codes and all types of proofs of the Torah. That's approaching God with knowing it. That's necessary, right? Because your religion can't be based on a leap of faith. You have to know that the Torah is true. But there's another part, right, that's going to take you very far. It's going to get you into the program. It's going to get you started working. But when the challenges really start, it's not always going to pull you through. Meaning, when you're going through a challenging time, you don't have to sit through discovery again. It's not like you have to go through the Bible codes, and then you'll feel rejuvenated, and then you'll be able to pray better, right? It's not going to go. So there's where the concept of belief comes in. You have to have in your life, at a certain point, where you stop testing the Almighty. You have to have, every person has to have in their life a certain point where we accept upon ourselves the fact that we don't understand. You can't start like that. You must clarify the basic tenets of Judaism. You have to go through and iron everything out, see how the Torah is true, how Sinai, and everything that it has to deal with. But after a certain point, you have to be able to la'amin. You have to be able to trust God, even though you don't understand. For example, you go to a doctor. You don't put the doctor to a test every time he writes a prescription to you. Otherwise, chas v'shalom is deadly, right? Now I'm going to go first to college and study in bio. I'm going to major in medicine, and afterwards I'll specialize in whatever it is I'm going into, and I'll take the Tylenol. By that time, the person will get a headache 10 times over. The point is the same thing. You have to have a certain time period in your life, and you could always strengthen it. But at a certain point, a person has to be able to, trust the Almighty that he doesn't understand. Yeah. So what I'm saying is that you always have to work on improving your status of knowledge of the Almighty and how He runs the world and what the technicalities of it. But practically speaking, at a certain point, while you're growing with that, which is a constant, it's a constant responsibility, practically speaking, you have to get to a point where you're doing things in the Torah without having to always question God. Understand? You can't start like that. You have to set the intellectual basis for it. But after a certain point, you have to be able to look, okay, I don't understand, and I'm going to keep going with that anyway. That's like the test of non-understanding. Sometimes that within itself is the test itself. So let's see, you need both of them. I'll give you an example. When the Jewish people were giving up their lives on the stake on Kiddush Hashem, when they were asked either to burn at the stake or to convert, which pulled them through? Which one of these do you think pulled them through? Knowledge or belief?
Belief.
Exactly. Belief. Where does a simple person, right, in the days of old, so to speak, right, have this power to give up their life? Where does Chana v'Shiva Bana, where does she have this power from? It's from the belief. I've mentioned these numerous times. I'm not advocating this, but I can just say that my grandmother and my great-grandmother, they didn't know how to read. Their prayers were probably better than anything I've ever, experienced. Because their belief, their connection to God was so real. They lived it so much. Things were just not a question. It's like, you have to prove to me the Torah is true. I'm Jewish. You're like, what? Like, I don't get what the... Yeah. 100%. Then if a person comes from just emunah without knowledge, then their religion is again shaky, because any challenge could push them off as well. You need to have both. You can't just have one. That's how I introduce it. Yes, yamin ve'yida. You have to know, and you have to also believe. And what I'm pointing out is that at a certain point, we have to stop, testing God internally and saying, well, if God's true, then I don't understand this. Well, you're not going to understand everything. Okay? Let's go on. Okay, let's go on. Now, it's also important for us while we're on this topic to discuss for a moment why is it important for a person to clear this this matter up, meaning knowing the significance of God to this aspect. Because what does it matter if I have this knowledge of God in my life or not? So the answer is if you were to take many people, what pushes them to deny God is because of the restrictions that they have if they accept God. Meaning, if a person accepts God and acknowledges the fact that He's created the world, that limits you. God would not create such an intricate world for the sake of nothing. There's obviously a purpose and a goal. So many times people are pushed to deny for the what's on the flip side, which is, well, if I accept Him, then I have to start thinking about what am I doing in this world. I had a student once, which we were taking, we would have these philosophical discussions about Judaism and Shabbat. We were going at it left and right for a while. Finally, we answered up all of his questions. I said, so now why are you keeping Shabbat? He goes, well, I'm just not satisfied. It's okay, now you've been asking me questions, I want to ask you questions. Like, I told him, I borrowed a cigarette and I said, do you smoke? He goes, yeah. He goes, that's why you're not keeping Shabbat. Because as soon as you acknowledge that fact that there's God and Shabbat is true, then you have to stop smoking and you don't have the internal strength to do that. He says, yeah, you're right. That was a deep conversation completely. Point being is that it's important that many people they'll battle with this concept for the very simple reason that once a person admits to the fact that there is a God and acknowledges it, then automatically there's a creator and you're responsible. And this brings us to our next experiment, which I haven't done on everyone yet, but we're going to do it right now because it's important. When there's a discussion, you remember it, when there's a discussion between an atheist, a person who believes in God, and a person who doesn't believe in God. Okay, both of them are discussing their viewpoints. Who has to prove to who their point of view, and whose point of view is more normal? Is the one that's saying there is no God and I don't see him the rational approach, or is the one that's saying no, I see a God the rational approach? Okay, but and without going like internal, they're both discussing. There is a God. There isn't a God. Who there's always like the bent. How do you call it? You have to, innocent till proven guilty type of thing, like you're innocent till proven guilty, meaning you have to prove me to be guilty because I start off as innocent. Who has to prove to who? Do I have to prove to the atheist that there is a God? Or does the atheist have to prove to me, does he have to prove to me that there is no God? Okay, you have to close your eyes. Okay, you have to close your eyes. Oh my God, don't open them until I tell you. Wait. Don't close. Oh, wind. Keep them closed. What is that? Oh my gosh, this is shocking. I can't believe what I just saw. That's amazing. My gosh. I've never seen anything like that. Open your eyes. You're not going to believe, like, oh my gosh. You're totally not going to believe what just happened. I teach in a high school seminar, so it's like, it rubs off a little bit. Like, oh my gosh. This, like, I open the window, and, like, this huge, like, eagle, like, walked in and, like, flew around the room, totally around the room, just creating this wind, and it was so cold, and then it picked up this, like, piece and threw it in, and then, like, this thing fell on top. Like, whoa. Now, in all seriousness, if I tell you that this little concoction over here happened on its own because the wind came in and blew everything out and pulled the little plate from the kitchen and placed that on top of it, what are you going to call me? Nuts. Who has to prove to who? I have to prove to you that I went to the kitchen and brought it, or do I have to prove to you that it happened on its own? Which one is a simpler way of looking at it? Which one is a more natural way of looking at it? Again, what's more natural way of looking at it? That this happened because a gust of wind came and just had it appear? I'm even saying it could have happened that way. Okay, let's just say for argument's sake it did happen that way. But who has to prove to who? What's more common and what is more natural way of us understanding? That it happened on its own or that somebody placed it? Which one? Somebody placed it, right? And this is a simple concoction. A relatively simple concoction. I know that some of us can't duplicate this at home. But, do you understand what I'm saying? My point is that when I'm before I even get into the whole discussion, God, no God, we feel, as Jews and believers, we feel like I have to prove to him. I don't have to prove to him nothing. I don't do anything to him, my friends. You are crazy. You want to prove to me that a being and a baby coming out of a body happens on its own? Go for it. Show me how, duplicate it on its own. En baya. I don't have to prove anything to you. Because you see something that was created, it automatically registers to you, someone created it. There is nothing in this world that you will say happened on its own that has any level of complexity to it. Anything. You won't walk in the desert and find a watch and say, must have just happened on its own. little volcano here and there, right? And then he'll meet the Oh My God girl, and you don't even know, and wow, Geico is right here. Obviously not, right? So my point is, you know, I know I'm like over-dramatizing it, but it's really to drive a point. We feel, all of us, or many of us, feel like as if we have to prove our point. I don't have to prove anything. I don't have to prove anything. I'm thinking naturally, there is a God. You see things that are created. You see things that are in an orderly fashion. I am the one sitting on the couch, and you're the one that has to say, prove it. Because there's nothing in the world that you have brought, and there's nothing in the world that exists that has any form of complexity that you say happened on its own. But when it comes to the human being, it must have happened on its own. We have more wires in our brain than all the telephone wires in the world. Do you know that? Isn't that crazy? I mean, anybody's, you know, just on a daily basis. I mean, you take food and make it into blood. Must have happened on its own. Right? Point being, when we say here that a person has to know and believe this, this is what we're talking about. You have to start off by clearing these things off, you know, to yourself. Does anybody disagree with me? Yeah?
But it's so common to believe.
But it doesn't make it right. Right? So the first thing I'm telling you is that you yourself don't have to feel like you're on the defensive.
Right.
You on the offensive. That's the first thing I'm telling you. The second thing is, and this brings us back to our first point, the reason that it's, why does the world opt to take this option? Why don't the masses sit down and say, hey, I see something created. Maybe, just maybe, there is a creator. Why? Because that obligates you, like the guy with the cigarette on Shabbat. If science would admit to the fact that there's a creator, that means there's a reason, and that is obligated and restricting. And when we're in a generation that has a remote control on the steering wheel, so they don't got to stretch over to the thing, and we got the wireless, and we're so into our comfort that any concept of God jeopardizes that. So that's why the masses do it. But my real message is to us here. Like, I hear sometimes how people are talking and thinking, like, they feel like they have to... You don't have to prove anything. We're thinking normal. Literally, the rest of the world is thinking crazy. That's why I worded it like this. That what's the most natural and normal way of thinking? The way the world thinks, putting religion aside for a moment, the rest of the world, not even us, the Jewish people, the rest of the world thinks that when they see something created, they know there's a creator. That's the natural way they think, not us. So you're coming and saying, well, that's the way we were raised. Okay, put the Jewish people aside. Take someone who has never, you know, heard about the concept of God and ask him, when you see something created, do you naturally opt to say there was a creator, or do you say it happened on its own? He will tell you there was a creator. Understand? I'm zooming in on that, putting us aside. And it's still, even atheists think that way. Atheists also think that when something was created...
Okay, anarchists, fine.
Even anarchists think that the world, that when they see something, when they see any object in this world, they will tell you it got here by someone placing it here. But when it comes to the most common, you know, the most complicated thing in the world, that is so clear. There's nothing to talk about. That's what I'm talking about. Yeah? So everyone agrees that a creator, a creation means a creator. And if you want to prove to me, then the burden of proof lies upon you, not upon me. Yes?
It's amazing. Turn
good for you. Very good. I'm very proud of you. That's excellent. That's good. I this comes to my own personal growth as well. Because as a rabbi, I deal with students, and at certain points, you know, prove to me this, prove to me this. But the first thing I lay down is, I'm thinking normal and you're nuts. Now, let's talk. You understand? But that's true. You all agree with me. Nobody disagrees. I haven't had one person say, no. Creation doesn't mean creator. Everything happens on its own. Say amen, v'yada. You get your knowledge, at one point you have to say, I trust that God has enough of a track record, I don't have to test Him on every single thing. I can go forward with my life. What I'm saying is like this. So you have to take the whole picture of what I'm saying. Hand in hand with improving your knowledge, at one point you have to have an internal acceptance of God's rules, even though you don't understand everything. Very good. Otsu v'yada. שהמצוי הזה יתברך שמו אין אמיתת מציאותו מושגת לזולתו כלל. That we also have to know that there is no one that comprehends the essence of the Almighty. Right? ורק זה נודע בו שהוא מצוי שלם בכל מיני שלמות ולא נמצא בו חיסרון כלל. We have to know that the Almighty's perfection exists and that he is full and in the sense that he's not missing anything. So this is also, for example, this ties in directly to what we're talking about. I do a question and answer session, you know, for college kids or whatnot. The one thing I plead the fifth on is God question. When they ask me God's essence, I say, I don't know God's essence. No one knows God's essence, but I do know that he's here, and I know that he has a great track record. Right? But I don't know how and who and, you know, all those, and that's what I'm saying. We have to know that nobody understands the essence of God, and there will come a time where we will understand that essence. There will be a time where we will have total clarity to that question, but at this point where the world is holding now, it's not, you know, we're not at that point. Now, it happens to be that this is not a restriction. Why? Because there's many things that you don't understand in life, yet you still fully go ahead with them because of the track record of whoever is directing you. You go to a doctor, you have absolutely, positively no idea what he's talking about, and you can't even read his handwriting on the, you know, on the thing he's giving you to the pharmacy, but you trust him because he knows what he's doing. You don't understand what he's talking about. So in a similar vein, obviously not the same thing, but you don't understand God's essence, you don't need to understand. You understand his track record. You understand the Torah is true, and that should give you enough of an understanding to go forward. Ulam dvarim ele yadanum bekabala min ha'avot u'min ha'nevi'im, we receive these topics from our forefathers and from the prophets. V'sigum kol Yisrael ba'amad ha'sinai v'amdu al mitatam beveru. Right? And this is what we had received in ha'sinai. So we have a few things that here make the Jewish people or our knowledge different. First of all, we have our forefathers have passed it down to us. Second thing, prophets. And third, we have ma'amad ha'sinai. Right? Ma'amad ha'sinai is in many aspects the central part of Judaism. Meaning, what makes us special or different than every other claim to other religions is Har Sinai. And I'll tell you what I mean by this. How many people, I'm not even getting into the basic discussion of the other religions, but for a moment, let's discuss, what is Christianity's plight? Right? And God had a son through
Mary,
right? And decided to change from the Jewish people because we had messed up. Alright? We weren't guarding our bases, and little do you know, messed up. Okay? Now, and God entered through, you know this one? Yeah, you know, God entered through Mary's ear, and then that's how it was basically a birth with no father. Okay? Right? The father was not involved in this relationship. It was Mary's, God had, however, passed, you know, God had, I had entered into her ear and thereby forming, you know, the whole continuation of the religion. Now, how many people know if this is what happened or not?
What?
Who?
Mary.
Nope.
Mary.
You don't know. Only Mary, right? So without even getting into the technicalities of the whole discussion, there's only one person that knows if that's the real story or not. So as big and as many people as you might see, right, as big and as many people as you might see that are following the religion, it's all resting on one pinpoint, which is Mary knows if this is what happened or if she went ahead and did something else. Right? Now, let's take Islam. Okay, next one. Ready? Islam. God went out to the desert. He was in a cave, and it wasn't God, it was Gabriel. The angel Gabriel came and spoke to him. How many people know if this is what happened or if he was hallucinating?
One.
Who?
Muhammad.
Muhammad and the guy who was playing Gabriel's voice behind the cave. Alright? Muhammad. My God. This is Gabriel. Give me your credit card number. 052, it's a Visa MasterCard expiration. But okay, so only one person knows. So, without even getting into the basis of the religion, true, not true, the whole aspect of it, even just to get it off the ground, the millions of those that are following it are all resting again on one needle, one person. You gotta flip a coin and say, is he telling the truth or not? Ma'amad al-Sinai, how many people know if it happened or not? Right? Millions. Definitely more than one. Alright? So, when the Ramchal is laying down the fact that we have been passed from generation to generation, he says, not only have we received them from our forefathers, not only have we received them from prophets, but we've also received them, Kol Yisrael, all the Jewish people, the Ma'amad HaSinai. When everybody attained at that point, attained this level of clarity with the Almighty. And they had passed it down generation after generation. That's why every religion, or many religions, try and take off. They all say, you know, the major religions say that Judaism is true. We can't deny it. However, you know, God put on a blinker at some point and changed lanes. But no one, you know, they won't say that it's not true because the statement and demand is way too credible. And this is how, you know, the mitzvot and the commandments that Moshe Rabbeinu has commanded the Jewish people straight from the Almighty. Pen tishkach ha'advarim asher ra'u enecha, lest you forget the things that your eyes have seen. Vodatam levanecha ulevnei vanecha, and you should let your children and your grandchildren, you should let them know about what it is that you have seen. Umnam, however, everybody with me? Gam mitzad hachakira b'moftim alimudim yemutu kol ha'anyanim ha'elo. In addition, when a person also, why does it pass by down to generation the knowledge to your children? Because in reality, the one thing that you're really responsible to pass on to your kids is the knowledge of the truth of the Torah. The emunah is the kid's own responsibility to develop within himself, because he's going to have his own path of service of the Almighty. Each, you know, my parents say five fingers, five different kids, they all come from the same hand. So your responsibility is to ingrain all this in your children. And it's very important, because one of the reasons that children today, you know, one of the things that might pull children away from Judaism is that parents don't take the time to sit down and go through the basic tenets of Judaism. At a certain point, a mother and father have to sit with their child and say, okay, what's the difference between us and them? How do you know that we're true and they're not? Well, they're much more. It's dangerous, but you have to know your facts, and thereby being able to push it off. So your responsibility is really to give over that knowledge. And then, you know, and the emunah is the child really developing in his own path, in essence. אומנם גם מצד החקירה במופתים הלימודים נאמצו כל העניינים האלה ויוכח היותם כן מכוח הנמצאות ומשיגיהם אשר אנחנו רואים בעינינו על פי חוכמת הטבע. In addition, you can also know about the oneness and the all power of the Almighty through nature, ההנדסה, התכונה ושאר חוכמה, right? The wisdoms of the world. Studying, you know, the world and how intricate it is also a path towards knowing the greatness and broadness of the Almighty. For example, as I've mentioned numerous times, when Rav Avigdor Miller wanted to strengthen himself with, you know, in the belief of God, what did he do? He pulled out a little bag with seeds, and he would take out one seed and say, okay, what do you see here? And a person would say, a seed. He says, no, I don't see a seed. I see an orchard with thousands of apple trees. He says, what do you mean? I see a seed. He said, well, plant it, get a tree, take those apples, plant them, so they all come from that one seed. Is that not a miracle? So to work out this different aspects of nature is also an important path towards understanding the oneness of God. This, you know, this is also a major theme of the Ramchal. Ramchal is going to carry this the whole way through, that it's important not just to stay nearsighted in what this world has to offer. So you have to look at the world, you know, from the natural way. You have to look at the pleasures of the world and how God reacts with that, and how that interacts with the person. Okay, as we've mentioned before, that when a person does that, they're able to really attain a connection to the Almighty.
Shemehem tilakechna hakdamot amitiyot asher yivaled mehem bevirur ha'inyanim amitiyim ha'ele. Umnam lo na'arich ata b'ze. We won't go into this a lot. Says the Ramchal. Ela natzi hakdamot la'mita. We're not going to go into every single aspect of God, just going to lay down a few little, you know, few tenets.
A person must know that the existence of God is obligatory to the extent that there is no reality without the existence of the Almighty. This points out to us the tremendous chesed that the Almighty does with us. I'll give you an example what I mean. That the Almighty's existence is obligatory, it's a must that has to exist, and without it there is no existence. What that means to us is when a person is doing, God forbid, a sin, who is at that point making his heart pump? The same God that commanded you not to do that is so merciful and still keeping your heart going while you do it, taking his energy, his strength, his life source, and using it against him. Right? For if you imagine you were walking on the street, like all good Jewish stories, parables, but, and you see a guy who's really down on his luck. He's a full-fledged, bum. You bring him into your house, you shave him, give him a shower, full wardrobe, stick him with a little money. You really make every effort to make him part of your house. You trust him, bring him into the business. You build up his life, you create a savings for him. And he's in there. One of the things at one point is you give him the codes to the safe. One day, you come home, he's waiting behind the door, he's got a few of his friends, pounces on you, sits you down on a chair, ties you up, and starts ransacking the house. Goes to the safe and steals your life savings. Other than the fact that you're losing your money, what thought is going through your mind? How could you? Like, how could you? I gave you everything, and this is what you do with it? I gave you who you are today. It's similar, and yet, imagine you go back afterwards, and he's on his way out, and he says to you, listen, I really need cab money. You got anything in your wallet? Crazy? You would never go for that. But the Almighty is so merciful that He gives us life, and we use that life against Him, and still He gives us more. So when the Ramchal says, "Otzrich shida shematzuit barach shemo," he named mitzuto mitzut muchach. You cannot have a world without His existence. In addition, a person has to know that the Almighty's presence is not pending or dependent on anyone. The Almighty always has within Him the capability of doing whatever He wants, anytime. He's never bound by anything. When a person internalizes this, right, and really thinks about it, it's a tremendous sense of strength, because there is nothing. There is no situation in a person's life where he's permitted to give up hope, because you have a being, God, that has all the capabilities that He wants. And that's why we find statements in our sages that say, even if a sharp sword is placed on your neck, do not forsake, because God can change that, He can save that. So the reality of knowing that God controls everything and He's not bound by anything is a tremendous source of strength. We'll stop here.